All right, we find ourselves in Habakkuk chapter number 3. Please go down to verse number 17 and please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and makes me tread upon the heights. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. You can grab him by the hand if you want to, but look your neighbor square in the eye. Turn to your neighbor. Look him square in the eye. You want to grab him by the hand? You can do that too. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, focus on God. Neighbor, focus on God. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, Focus on God. Phil, there's a truth we got to deal with. The truth we got to deal with that sometimes it's hard to be focused. Focus means that you are doing something that is intentional and you're taking the effort to concentrate on something. And if it was easy, everybody would do it. But for us, as the people of God, we have to understand the significance of our focus. Amen? Work with me for a second. Don't panic. Now, one of the things that we have to realize about life is that in order for us to continue to persevere and to make it, we have to stay focused. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I'll tell you this real quick. My brother and I were riding, you know, the bike where you can put two people on. And I was in the back, he was in the front. And he had, I was like 8 or 9, and so that means he was like 12 or 13. Reverend Flippin, he had plucked my nerves. We was down in Wildwood. You know, older brothers like messing with little brothers, right? So while we got on this bike and we were riding Deacon Elwood, we came up close to the corner where we needed to stop. And he stopped pedaling and said to me, it's time to stop. I act like I ain't here. I'm looking all around. And as we drew closer and closer to the corner, he started talking louder and started panicking. But just before we got to the corner, then I hit the brake. And I told him, I said, see what happened when you mess with me? You caused me to get out of focus. Don't you know that's what happens to us in church sometimes? When folk mess with us, we let them get us out of. Y'all ready to go look at this with me? We have to understand the book of Habakkuk is not a book that's very jovial, very exciting. It can be rather depressing in these three chapters. But with all that's being said, he says in chapter 2, verse 4, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, the interesting thing about that statement is that the word faith, Reverend Rhodes, is not used a lot in the Old Testament. But the reality is that the only time Israel was successful is when they functioned by faith. When they were released out of Egypt, they put their faith in God. They did not lift one sword and were freed. When they got to the Red Sea, they had to have faith. And they walked across on dry ground. And once they were in the wilderness for 40 years, they were mumbling and grumbling, said, "We have no water, we have nothing to eat." But we see that Moses prayed and said, "Lord, we need faith and we need you to bless us." So for 40 years, he gave them manna in the morning and the bird at night to eat. And that was not them going to hunt for it. God provided it. And once they got to the promised land, and they were in the promised land, they were in houses they didn't build. They had vines that they didn't plant. They had food from plants that they didn't sow, or but they were reaping. And they were in a place where God had already prepared a table before them in the presence of their. Do you see it? And now they were there in the promised land and they were being blessed. What the people made the mistake of is saying, "God, I'm going to put you on the shelf. And I'll call you when I need you." And they got so self-absorbed. Because generations were coming up and did not realize the only reason why they were there is because of the blessings of God. Some folk thought that they were there because of their intellect, because of their ability, because of what they had done. They decided to put God on the shelf. And once they put God on the shelf, then they started doing their own stuff. And what Habakkuk is telling them is that y'all see the Chaldeans out there? They like locusts out there in our farmland, coming through and devouring up all the vegetation. Well, they're going to come and we're next. And as they come and get us, it's going to be dire straits. You see, because what he is here is doing in this chapter in verses 17 is that what he is doing is speaking metaphorically. What he is saying, again, let's look at it. He says, "Though the fig tree does not blossom and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stall." That's saying that everything that we need to exist, y'all, is going to be gone. He says, in all actuality, we are going to have a famine because of what is coming our way. And it is not God's fault because we put God on the shelf. And now that we are where we are, what is going to happen to us now? I'm looking at our resources, and our resources have become limited. Our resources aren't what we need them to be. And if I don't have what I need to exist, then how can I go forward? Because I don't see no resources available to me. And since there's no resources available to me, that means that I'm about to check out. But I'm here to tell you something. The reality is, as long as you focus on the resources themselves are small. It don't matter how much money you got in the bank, it's small. No matter how big your house is, it's small. No matter how pretty and new your car is, it's small. No matter how many outfits and clothes you have, it's small. Because in the sight of God, all that stuff is. You see, I want you to understand something today, my brothers and sisters. As long as we focus on the resources, we are focusing on what is small. What we have to learn to do is focus on the source, the creator of everything, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who was here when there wasn't no here. That's where we got to go. When we look to the source is bigger than any resource because the source is the creator of all resources. So I'm not going to focus on the resources. I'm going to focus on the But I want to tell you there's a problem. The problem is that we pay too much attention to the resources. And as you put faith in the resources, that means you're not putting faith in the source. And as long as you're putting faith in the resources, that means that you're taking God and you have put him on the. I heard Reverend Rose here talking a few minutes ago, talking about, you know, what's going on here in Broad Rock. And some of y'all looked at him like, what? It's called ROGI, Return on God's Investment. It's called the Expansion Project. It's us moving forward. And some of y'all just looked at him a little funny. You see, because the first thing you thought about was your resources. You thought that, oh, they're trying to get up in my pocket. But it's not about getting in your pocket. It's about God getting in your heart. And since I have God in my heart, I know that I got the resource, but I got the source of everything. So no matter what the resources, God's going to make a way out of no way, because I ain't got it twisted. I'm keeping my eye on the source because he's blessing me with the resources. And then some folk wonder why I ain't being blessed no more, because I'm looking too low. But God wants me to look. So as long as our eyes stay on the resources, we all lose sight of the source. Now, you know what's interesting? We'll take God and we'll put him on a shelf. And when we start to see our resources getting a little funny, then we go back looking for God on the shelf. And he ain't where we left him. And then we get frustrated. I can say frustrated. And wondering, why ain't God where I left him? You see, because you have been putting too much attention on the resources. Because resources can be here today. No, can be gone today. So, we can't allow ourselves to make the mistake of the Israelites. Because what we're seeing is that what has happened is Habakkuk was letting them understand something. That we are in this predicament because we have placed God on the. And now that we're looking back, we don't know where it is. Anybody see God? Because I know where I left him. But that's not where he is. You see, I want you to understand something. If you push God aside, don't expect him to be where you left him. You know how some folks say, well, you know, I'm going to come and check on you. Because you know I loves you. But they ain't call you back until a week later and then get mad because you ain't answer. Because you ain't there where they expected you to be. Well, why would you think God would be where you left him? You think God is going to just wait on you? When you lose sight of the source and focus on the resource, you place yourself in a position to where you now are lost. So what God is saying to them is that there's a famine. But the famine isn't physical. The famine is spiritual. You see, when we take our focus off God and put it on anything else, we will confine ourselves in a spiritual famine. And if we find ourselves in a spiritual famine, then we wonder why we're walking around frustrated, tight-faced, mad at everybody, can't smile at nobody, can't say good morning, can't speak. We walk around grunting and you know, you can't do none of that. Why? Because you are in a spiritual famine. And the only way to get out of the spiritual famine is to understand that I made a mistake by paying too much attention to the resource. But what I want you to see is that Habakkuk is telling them, you can correct the problem. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can correct this. You see, because when you're going through the famine, you have to make a decision to do something. And what Habakkuk is sharing with us in verse 18, he says this, yet. He says, I might be going through a famine. The resources that I need to allow me to continue to exist have now been taken away. But yet, I will rejoice. And I will rejoice in who? You see, my brothers and my sisters, you want to get out your famine, you got to learn how to rejoice. You got to remember to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. You see, you were giving him the praise because you were praising the resources, but you weren't truly praising God. But God had to remove the resources, put you in a famine in order for you to truly give God the unadulterated praise he deserves. So what is happening here is that Habakkuk is saying, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You see, my brothers and my sisters, he says that statement about rejoicing. If you come to God's house tight-faced every Sunday, if you come to God's house looking at the pastor sideways because of whatever, if you come to church looking at folks sucking your teeth, that means you're dealing with some famine in your own life. God wants to remove the famine in your life. And the only way the famine to get to remove be removed, you got to come here with a heart that wants to what? Rejoice. You got to come here with worshiping God as your primary objective in the church. Not coming here looking at what they gonna wear today. How they going to sing today. Who going to pray today. Who going to say this or that today. I want you to know if that's what's on your mind, you are in a famine. So what God is saying to us, to get out of the famine, you got to come here ready to rejoice in the Lord. And you know why I can rejoice in the Lord? I will exalt him in the God of my salvation. I wouldn't be where I am if God hadn't delivered me. I wouldn't be where I am if he didn't come see about me. Because I was tore up from the flow up. And the only reason why I'm not in a famine is because of the salvation of the Lord. So when I rejoice, I'm rejoicing because I got life. I might not have much, but I got life. And I know who gave me the life. He is the source of everything. And he will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. So I ain't gonna focus on the resources. I'm gonna get my attention to the You see, my brothers and sisters, the problem that exists in the church is that the church always want to talk about all we got is. Well, all we got is this. All we have is a little bit of that. As long as you put limits on what you got, then you can't move by faith, because the righteous shall live by faith. And if I'm living by faith, that means that I say, Lord, thank you for what I got. And I thank you for whatever I don't have. You're going to bless me with it to move me forward. Because, Lord, I believe in the source. I'm praising you because you are the source of everything that I have. So no matter how many folk want to put you in a box, who want to talk about what we just have, we got to learn how to praise God for what he has for us. You see, the reality is, as long as you are focusing on the resources, you're going to lose sight of the source. And as long as you're going to throw out the resources on what you consider to be limitations, you're going to always be limited. I want you to understand that we serve a God who is limitless. We serve a God who goes above and beyond. We serve a God who'll be there with us through thick and through thin. We serve a God who makes a way out of no way. We serve a God who will give us this and give us that. We serve a God who will give us more than two nickels to rub together. We serve a God who's going to give us more than a wish sandwich. You know what a wish sandwich is? It's when you got one bread in one hand, another piece of bread in the other hand, you smack them together and wish you had a sandwich. But I thank God He's going to give us more than a wish sandwich. Sometimes he'll put some turkey in it. Sometimes he'll put some chicken in it. Sometimes he'll give you some barbecue. Sometimes he'll give you a piece of fish. But you won't know until you take those two pieces of bread and say, Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you for the increase. So when you smack them together and you go on to take a bite, you're going to taste more than just two pieces of. You see, my brothers and my sisters. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, stop talking about limits. Stop talking about limits. Because the more you talk about limits, you are limiting yourself. You are saying what you can't do. You're saying our God isn't capable. If he's able to supply food for the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years, since the fee, he didn't go bankrupt. He still had a whole lot left. So you mean to tell me we always want to talk about a famine? We always want to talk about what we have that's limited? You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you know how good our God is, you ain't focusing on what you don't have. You're focusing on what you do have. And what we have is we have Jesus. And by us having Jesus, we have everything that we need. And no matter how it might seem like it's coming up short, but I'm only reason why it's coming up short is because you're thinking it's short. When I look at this knucklehead talking to you, who came up out the hood, didn't know how to talk without cussing. Didn't know how to verbalize but would punch you. Who didn't really know how to always socialize with folk. But how God can take somebody like me and make a something out of me. He can do the same thing for you. I recall Reverend Rose saying when he was a kid, during the wintertime when they went to bed at night, they didn't sleep in no pajamas. You put on layers of clothes. Am I lying? And when you put the layers of clothes on, then you wrapped yourself up in blankets and you went to sleep because those old country houses had some holes through the walls and the wind would seep through. But look at you now, Reverend Rose. Now when you go to bed, now we're going to leave that alone, but you're understanding what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I'm saying? If that's all he thought he would ever be, then that's where he would still be. But he had to think big in order for big things to happen. Because as long as you think small, it's going to be just like death. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. But let me take it a step further. Big and small is in how we say it all. I'm going to let that sink in. Lord just gave that one to me. Thank you, Lord. I couldn't have thought about that a long time ago. He just gave me that one. I don't even know if I can repeat it. That's right. Big and small is how we say it all. So if you say it small, it will be small. If you say it big, it will be big. But you don't just say it, you start acting like it. You start believing it. You start seeing it. Because I'm going to tell you about another big head boy who when he was 11 years old, loved to look at Disney Channel. I mean, not Disney Channel, NBC. Y'all know about NBC. Back in the day, they had Disney that came on at 7 p.m. Remember they would show the castle and they'd have the fireworks coming behind it. When you wish upon a star. Y'all remember that? When I was a kid, I looked at that and said, I'm going there. I believed I was going there. I done been to Disney so many times. Every time they looked at me and said, what you back for? Ain't you kind of old to keep coming back up in here? You think small, you're going to be small. You have to see the bigness of the God whom we serve. But let me tell you where the problem starts. Can I tell you where the problem starts? It's when we put God on the shelf and God ain't there no longer. What happens is that we try to share the stage with God because we think we big now. And since we think we big now that we're trying to share the stage with God, God's got to remind us, bro, you don't share the stage with me. You ain't all that, a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. And then that's when God start pulling the resources away. And when he pulls the resources away, then you wonder like, Lord, where you at? Where you at? We cannot forget our place. We run into problems when we try to place ourselves and think we're going to rub shoulders with God. We start thinking we are becoming more of the source and forgetting that we're just a. And then we wonder why God ain't blessing the church the way he ought to be blessing the church. Because there are some folk in the church who think they can rub shoulders with God because they are all that in a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. I'm here to tell you today, you are just a resource. Guess what? I ain't nothing but a resource. And what I am able to do is because God is speaking to me and through me. I recognize that I don't have to be where I am. And since I am where I am, I can't help but give God all glory, honor, and praise. Because he could have passed me by and used somebody else. But God chose to use me. That humbles me more than anything else. That's why I can't do nothing but give him all glory, honor, and praise. Lord, I'm going to make myself small so that you can be big. And when you make it your business, let me take you to this last verse and we get ready to shut it down. When you make it your business to rejoice and have the jubilation of celebrating God for your salvation, then you know how you feel weak sometimes. He says in verse number 19, God, the Lord, what is he? My strength. Have you ever woke up some mornings and you felt like you just didn't want to get up? You ever felt like the weight of the world was on you? But you started praising God and thanking God for a new day, thanking God for what he was doing and how he was doing it. Then all of a sudden, you felt that you had a little more strength to get up and to move forward. And I want you to know that's nothing but God who is the strength of my life. And since God is my strength, the one thing I want you to understand about the God whom we serve, he gives us the strength that we need when we think we don't have the strength. And when God gives us the strength, he gives us hind feet like a deer. You see, where folk think you can barely walk, you'll find yourself jumping and leaping and praising God. And guess what? You don't just stay where you are. You will climb to higher heights. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you allow God to be our focus, when you focus on God, it allows you to understand the potential of what our God is able to do in you. Because the God we serve is bigger. He's bigger than anything that we have. Because he is the creator of everything that we have. So that's why when we come to this place, I don't care what's going on in your life. I ain't telling you to perpetrate, but you got to learn how to put the small stuff aside and go on and praise God that you're able to be in God's house. Do I got anybody in God's house right now who is able to say, I know I'm dealing with this, I know I'm dealing with that, but I'm going to go on and praise him anyhow because he has been mighty good to me. He has given me the ability to praise him, to thank him. I can't help but magnify his holy name. Because where would I be if I didn't have the Lord in my life? Do I got any witnesses who are in God's house right now who understand I am where I am? It's only because I keep my focus on. You see? What God needs is more folk who are focused. Let me help you. You focusing on the pastor. I can't believe he wearing them shoes and them jeans. Wearing that shirt. I know he done got it all sweaty now. You focusing on a resource. The whole purpose of this resource, Sister Jennifer, is to get all of other resources to look to the source. Because I realize, just like you realize, that guess what? It's God that allows us to do all that we do. So we ain't going to ever walk around tooting our own horn and thinking we're all that. But we want folk to know the God whom we serve, he's all that and then some. So that's why we'll continue to be a finger post. But you only can be a finger post when you keep your focus